coming up on TMS PM AM. The TSA says, bring your weed.
Be glad you live here.
That's a huge spider.
Dude, your dorm smells funny.
App time.
Your Twitter questions and more on this episode of TMS PM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
Yes, it is.
TMS PM.
Welcome, everybody, to TMS PM AM. It's Saturday, April, 8th, 2017. My internet died Thursday, and we had no PM edition that afternoon. So we're making it up.
That's right. That's what we do. Plan B, Bob Pedersen. Plan B.
I felt like we had to because we're going to be gone so much next week that I didn't want to shortchange anybody this week. So we had to make it happen. And we're grateful that so many came live today and got the word and are here with us. Not quite our normal crowd, but hey, it's Saturday morning. People are sleeping off hangovers and stuff.
Yeah. Now that there's no Saturday morning funcade to get up for with your golden crisp Wheaties or whatever.
golden crisp Wheaties. I think you just took three cereals.
I'm trying to remember an actual cereal from back then that we don't have now, but
I don't know if we do. Are they all around? Let's think about that.
I mean, there's C-3PO's.
Oh yeah, and the one-timers, sure. And the weird Halloween cereals that would come and go. Yeah, I guess they'll still sort of come and go.
Fruit Brute.
Yeah, Fruit Brute. When is the last time we had Fruit Brute? The answer is 30 years ago.
The answer is Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, no kidding. You think Peeps give you pink poo. I'll tell you what Fruit Brute does. I think every cereal you and I grew up with is still a thing. I think.
Yeah, for the most part. Like all the major ones, right? Like they still have Cookie Crisp,
Yep.
I'm guessing.
Yep, and you can buy that. What else?
Cocoa Krispies and...
all the Captain Crunch variations are still out there. Although I don't know if the Crunch Berry only deal is a thing anymore.
Oh, yeah. That seems like it was a limited time thing as well. Like it was, we made a mistake. It's all marshmallows, Lucky Charms or whatever.
Yeah, like that. I told you about that box I got in my early 20s of all marshmallows and the Lucky Charms.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, and it wasn't
supposed
to be.
There's a reason I had equated that to it being an actual thing you could purchase.
Yeah, no, if they ever did that, it would just destroy children's lives.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's...
be
right,
bad, right? They'd be responsible for mass murder or something.
It'd be like Christmas every day is what it is.
I have to admit it was fun while it lasted. But I'm happy to report. I think all the 80s, early 90s things that you and I grew up with stayed. I think we are a resilient generation. We've kept all of our cultural touchstones.
I think so.
Back in the day when my parents were kids, they had cereal like Crunchy Monkey Parts or whatever they were, and then those would go away. They don't have that stuff anymore.
Right. No, it's totally true. For whatever reason, I just imagine all the boxes being black and white. Yeah. I don't know why.
Yeah, black and white, like generic with just the word cereal on it. Yeah,
it's a black and white pot of this nutritious breakfast.
a monochrome pot.
There's Oreo O's and Berry Berry Kicks. Are those aren't still around?
I think the Oreo ones are.
Really?
I think I've seen those. I've never eaten them. Never gone near that, but pretty sure. I mean, they're going to be... I mean, occasionally you're going to have a weird, what if we did this, and they go away. But the ones that are Kix has no reason to exist, but there it is.
Exactly. Yeah. If it lasts more than a year, if it wasn't one of these all right, we're trying to tie into the Masters of the Universe movie and come up with Orko O's or something like that, then... if they stuck around for more than a year in our childhood, for some reason they're still around.
They're making a mistake if it's Orko O's. I understand the connection to O's and it makes sense, but I would go for Two Man O's. Remember Two Man?
Two Face or not Two Face?
What's his name? I think it was just called Two Man.
Man of Arms or Man of...
Well, there was a guy who had two heads. He was a bad guy. He's one of Skeletor's buddies, and I think he went by the name Two Man. I could be wrong. Hold on. Two Man.
Horrible. He's not the guy with not really two heads, but two faces on one head, right?
Or am
I thinking of a different guy?
Oh, now I can't remember if he was. Oh, no, here he is. Two Man from He-Man. Here's a photo. He is a two-headed. He looks like Cho'Gall or something.
I'm thinking of Many Face or Manny Faces.
Was there a Manny Faces?
Yeah, we'll man-e-faces.
There you go, chat. You can see these up close. See this guy right here? This two-headed dude is two-man. That, I guess, meant he was two men. Two men in one. Anyway.
Too much man.
Too much man. Too much hassle. All right. Let's talk about you. You went to... So we talked about it on Thursday morning, but whenever Denver, a major Denver sports team has like a big opening night, the city goes bananas, and you guys went and were part of the bananas. How'd that go?
Sort of, yeah. You know, it's funny. We don't go to opening day for the Broncos or the Avalanche or anything like that. We've got season tickets for the Colorado Mammoth, which is the lacrosse team out here. And that's really the sport. If there's any sport in Colorado that I do pay attention to, it's that for whatever reason. But every year for opening day, Rockies opening day, we go out there for the big party. And we don't go to the game. We go to Lower Downtown, or Lodo is what it's called.
Oh.
And we just go from restaurant to bar to whatever, hopping from place to place. There's all sorts of people giving out freebies and stuff like that. And so we just go down there to be part of that whole big event.
All right.
And this year, no different. We got a ride down there, got a ride back, took an express bus back. But it was kind of pretty much the same thing, you know, same kind of fun it always was. I was really hoping that there would be some weird thing that would happen as part of this. And it kind of did near the end. But we spent the day downtown, again, popping from bar to bar. I sent a few photos of me at various places. One area that I think you got the response. Actually, I got a couple of responses from you about the oysters. Not a fan of oysters, huh?
No, don't like oysters. Not. I've had them, but I don't. I remember. Okay, so here are my two experiences with oysters. One, it's like eating a warm booger.
Right.
And two, it's like that booger's got dirt in it. So,
well, they should make them cold. It should be served as a cold booger.
Yeah, but boogers.
But yeah. Oh, yeah. And no question about it. I mean, I had, we shared a plate of 12 oysters. I think I ended up with 5. Because one of the other guys we were with was like, I'll just have one, and
it's like, almost, right, cool. It's almost thick and liquid, Brian. Just about.
Oh,
almost.
It's not. It's so not.
Ugh.
But yeah, you do end up with some grit, or some, basically the inside of the shell sometimes gets in there. You're just like, right,
a little sand. It's not that big a deal, but I'm a big, I hate sand in my food. So it always, right. I'm always anticipating it. And then when it happens, I don't want to shut my mouth for the rest of the night. Yeah.
Like, I can't enjoy the food in my mouth because I'm searching it for it's like stuff that's not food.
Like authentic clam chowder in the Northeast or in San Francisco, it's always sandy. It's
always
the worst.
Always has a little bit of sand in it. Yep.
Ugh. Blah.
Yeah. The other thing, I got a response from you on a photo that I took at... So there was one part where it's like a little gated entry into what's normally a parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they fill it with a bunch of vendors. There's a DJ. There's a couple food booths and things like that. And you just walk in, but they have to like make sure that you're of age, because then they don't have to do a an ID check at each of the bars in there. And that's where I sent a photo from, that where it was like, okay, this part is kind of cramped. And we stayed there for maybe 10 minutes and got the heck out of Dodge. But I think that was another response. Is like, okay, too crap. No way. Not interested. Anyway.
It looked really cramped. Like that one spot you were in, it looked like
that,
nobody's
moving.
And
that was the most, I mean, that was the busiest place that we were the whole time. The rest of the time, we actually got into bars, actually got tables. We were able to watch the game on the TV, get a couple drinks, watch people go by. We were out on a balcony at one point watching people go by. And
oh, nice.
Apparently there was some footballer went by that a couple of the guys in our group knew, but I hadn't heard of him. He was a college footballer, but he was recognizable, and he was high-fiving and shaking hands with everybody as he walked down the street. Huge guy.
When you say footballer, you mean football American or soccer?
Football American. Oh, okay, football, okay. College football player.
Gotcha.
That's right. I guess footballer, like football player, is how we call him in America.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Right. Footballer totally is like a soccer thing.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So it's not like there's always celebrity sightings at these things, right?
No. I think this may be the first time I've actually seen somebody who would be considered a celebrity if I knew who the heck they were.
Well, you got Brian Ibbett of Coverville and TMS fame there.
Well, yes. There was one celebrity who was everywhere.
Yeah.
I went.
It was all the places.
But so we took the bus back into Arvada from downtown to meet our wives back there and grab dinner there. We only were downtown maybe for 5 hours. Got back to Arvada, and they just opened up a brand new fish and chip restaurant. It's a chain out here. It might be a chain across the country called GB Fish and Chips.
Oh, I haven't heard of it. Mm.
Their logo is the British flag, and they serve what they call traditional fish and chips with big old steak fries and big old pieces of cod with thick old batter on and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And just opened up in Arvada here, so wildly popular on a Friday night. And as we were pulling up, we noticed that across the street from GB Fish and Chips is a church, and they had a big sign on the side that said, Wisconsin Fish Fry from 5 to 7. Like, okay, well, there's a backup. So we walk into GB Fish and Chips, and we walk in basically where the counter is, where you order, and we see the line there. And so we start following the line as it goes, weaves in and out through all the different parts of the restaurant, and basically comes to the back door. So we follow that basically all the way to the back door. We walk out the back door. We go across the street.
And you went to the church fry.
And we went to the church fish fry. I was like, yeah, no, let's just do that.
Did they say things like, here's your fish, here's your chips, have you heard of Jesus? Did they do that to you or no?
They did not.
Okay,
and I'm trying to remember. I don't think we got chips. I think there were, it was like peasant potatoes. You know that thing where they take potatoes, chop them up, put them in a skillet and fry it up with like chunks of onion and stuff
like
that.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I almost prefer that to fries, or it's on even keel with fries.
Yeah, I'm up there with you. That's good.
So we had that, and but it is like you walk, you know, you basically, instead of getting a meal where you sit down at a table, you place your order or whatever, or GB Fish and Chips, you wait in line and then place your order and go sit down. They bring it to you. This is totally like, all right, we're in a line. We're clearly in a church. There are people on the other side of the steam table wearing white elastic band hats to keep their hair out of the fish.
Yeah.
grabbing with tongs. It's interesting. All the fish, all the shapes are the same. The fish are all shaped the same, like they were pressed out of some sort of fish machine.
Mass fish production is what that is. They're not bringing you fresh. They're not fish shaped either, right? It's a shape of a different sort.
It's like it's almost a triangle.
Yeah.
Like a little fish plank.
Looks like Wyoming. Little Wyoming
right.
Squares.
Exactly. Yeah. Get to the table, and then it's like, all right, we're like looking at everything on the walls. There's like an anti-abortion thing on one wall and a big old cross on the other wall and a big felt flag for the Knights of Columbus, who are apparently responsible for the fish fry.
Wow.
One of those big old, I keep saying big old and this old and that old, one of those big yellow and red canteens that they fill with lemonade and has a little spigot at the bottom.
You know, oh, yeah.
Exactly the ones, yeah.
Sure, sure. They're usually orange, but red, I like red. Right. That's a nice change.
Yeah, or yellow and orange, I guess, yeah.
Sure.
And
that was how you got your drinks. That's great.
That's how you got your drinks, exactly. A pan full of brownies.
Oh my gosh, we've all been there. This is great. I kind of love that you went there. That's kind of awesome.
And it was decent. I mean, it was like $8. We got all this food for $8. I think we could have even gotten more because we got there really close to 7. So yeah. They came back around carrying the pan of fish planks and said, "Anybody want more fish planks?"
They're but like bricks. They're sort of square.
We didn't ask for more fish, so they didn't bring us any more fish. But
oh my gosh, that's great. What do they have was it quiet in there? Was it loud in there?
It was quiet. Oh, and this kid, and there's a lot of Boy Scouts in there.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. Sure.
Right. And one of the Boy Scouts like got up from his chair and in some sort of hurry for some reason, maybe to go get more lemonade out of the big canteen, but like almost ran into me, and I stopped, and one of my coleslaws just fell straight flat on the floor, like dumped coleslaw all over the place.
Oh no.
And lady behind me said, "Don't worry, I'm actually right behind you with the rag. I'll get that for you. Just go sit down and eat your food."
With like, the rag.
But I wanted that coleslaw. And Boy Scout kid didn't do anything, didn't apologize, didn't, you know, he just kind of waited for half a beat, and then walked around the other side of the table to get to wherever he needed
to get.
Yeah,
he's a crappy scout. They're not supposed to behave that way.
He was not prepared.
Yeah, they're not good scouts when they do that. Well, all right. That sounds like a blast. Yeah. That's better.
I came home and hung out with the neighbors and watched Vacation on Bravo.
All right. You know what I did for food last night? And this is because Kim was out with Carter at some flea market thing, and Nick, I don't know where Nick was, and I was starving, and I looked in the fridge, and we had stuff, but there was no bread, and I wanted some like sandwichy bready thing.
Sure, yeah.
So I took a tortilla, and I smeared peanut butter on one half, and jelly on the other half, or jam. Squeezed them together and made myself a PB&J giant taco. And that's what I ate last night.
That's awesome. That's like a total, like you're eating like a latchkey kid all of a sudden. Oh,
totally, dude. Like, what's here? How can I make it and get out of here and get back outside with my friends? Exactly. Anyway, I'm glad you had fun. I'm glad you're well. We're going to now do some of this here stuff here.
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
It's the evening news. It's not brought to you by anyone. Although, I don't know. I put up a special episode of The Instance with Russell Brower yesterday.
Oh, cool.
Always fun to talk to him, speaking of BlizzCon and stuff. And had a really great chat about his process and about music at Blizzard and a few other things. I think people really like it. You guys should check it out at theinstance.net.
He was just the super nicest guy.
Nicest guy in the world. He's coming in Tacular again, which will be great. We'll see him at BlizzCon, of course. He's just a really good guy. He had some very nice things to say about our community, which caught me off guard. It was very, really nice.
Aww.
Let's talk about what the TSA did.
Okay.
First of all, did you see that video floating around of the guy in Vegas who was peeing all over the floor?
No.
Oh, Lord. So this is...
Do I need to find this?
I only tell you this because you're the one going to... you're the one going on plane, right? I'm driving.
Right.
And so you may run into this dude or a dude like him. Let me find it for you. Here it is.
His name isn't Gerard Depardieu, is it?
No. But you're going to die, dude.
All right. Find me a link because all I'm finding is the kid last year who was on that zip line down on Fremont Street.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was a bad one, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Pete on everybody as he zipped down the zipline. Okay. I see a link.
All right. Click that link. Chad, I'll show you on my
end. Oh, so this is at the airport. Okay. For some reason, I was thinking that this was going to be at Circus Circus.
This is at the actual airport. Oh, I can't get this to work. Why can't I get
this?
How
What's
awful.
Keeping him upright?
I don't know. There's some magic at play. Look at this guy, chat room. Look at him. He's just peeing. In the waiting area at the terminal. It looks like he's hung by something.
Oh, that is horrendous.
It looks like look, how drunk are you that's what you're doing?
Right. Oh, just decided horrifying. That's it. I'm just going to drop trout pee in the gate.
I really hope he's not there.
No kidding, and that's on a flight to Vegas, they're saying.
Yeah, to Vegas. He's already that sauced up to Vegas, and then he's gonna be horrible there, and then hopefully he's already home now by the time we get there. Anyway, really bad.
I love that somebody responded with the photos of the guys from the Smooth Criminal.
Oh, yeah.
Music video that are able to lean super far over because that's what he looks like he's doing.
That whole thread is kind of delightful. I'm glad it went viral. Anyway, so the TSA is in the news because the TSA, this may be, I don't know if this is important to Colorado or not, but they accidentally said it's okay if you bring your pot on the plane.
Right.
The air, noticed by a marijuana website, Leafy. Marijuana website, I guess, is what they're calling themselves.
Leafly.
Little Leafly. L in there. I like Leafy better, wouldn't you? Leafy?
Well, yeah. Unless it's Leafly.
Leafly.
Which would be appropriate if they'd catch it from the
That's a good point.
TSA website.
Showed medical marijuana as one of the items allowed on both carry-on baggage and checked baggage. The description even added, TSA security officers do not search for marijuana or other drugs. In the event a substance that appears to be marijuana is observed during security screening, TSA will refer the matter to law enforcement officers. The error echoes official TSA policy that clearly states TSA does not screen for marijuana or other drugs. TSA's Twitter asked TSA quickly clarified the database the database made a mistake. The agency also repeated they don't arrest people for marijuana. There was an error in the database of the new search tool and is now corrected. While we have no regulations on processing or transporting marijuana, possession is a crime under federal law. Our officers are not looking for illegal narcotics, but they have to report them to law enforcement when discovered, he continued. So now they will tell somebody if you've got the pot.
Right. That's right.
But if you have the gummy bears, they're not going to know.
No, they probably won't.
No.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, yeah. You can own it. You can have it on your person in places in Colorado, but you cannot fly with it.
And it's still
a federal crime.
Right. Which is weird, which makes no sense, which is dumb.
Right.
But I get it. For now. And until the law changes, we're a land of laws, and so you live by the laws. It's fine.
Exactly.
Brian, I hate to tell you this because I know you're really into it.
All right.
But it's now illegal to share an image of Vladimir Putin in Russia as portrayed as a gay clown. You can't do that anymore. I know you're really broken up about this because this is something Brian's really been into. We haven't talked about it on the show a lot, but Brian's been way into sharing
All my Photoshops have gone to waste now.
Yeah. It's
all that hassle.
It's Oh my gosh, yes, way too much hassle.
Way too much hassle.
I just showed the chat room that image. You may want to look at that link yourself.
Are they sharing a photo of, I guess it's not in Russia, so it's okay here.
Yeah, it's the internet, you know, people can look at it wherever. I just want to make it clear that
my Russian Etsy store has to be shut down.
Yeah, you're in trouble. BrianIbbett.ru has to go away. That's a great photo, though, right?
Looks like Colin Hay from Men at Work way back in the 80s for one of their music videos for some reason. I don't know why, but it...
What I'm trying to understand is why... Oh, cause I guess it says stop homophobia on it. But otherwise, it's just kind of a clown. I mean... I don't know.
Yeah.
I would have seen it as it's almost like they're trying to do a Joker deal.
Kind of like Rocky Horror Picture Show Joker kind of.
Yeah.
Coloring there.
But this is illegal now.
Not really a clown as much as it's just he's made up.
Yeah. Yeah. It is like he's just made up. You're right.
Right. It's not like, you know, clown would be white face with different, you know, shapes around the eyes. This is just eyeliner, lipstick, and blonde hair.
Yeah. Where's his comically large buttons and shoes?
And a flower that squirts vodka.
Exactly. Well, it says here, Russian has banned this picture, and Russian news outlets are having trouble reporting exactly which image of the internet's many Putin gay clown memes is now illegal to share. So literally it's illegal for you to do this. Now, I just would like to take a moment here. And as much as we want to complain about whatever the current state of American politics are, I am really glad that we live in a country where I can make a picture of Trump with a zebra coming out of his butt and nobody can do a damn thing about it.
Right. Right.
I think it matters.
I think so too.
I even think that, you know, I hate that. I mean, I don't want to ruffle some feathers, but when Obama was president and somebody would circulate some gif on 4chan of some awful racist image of the president,
right,
even that I'm glad they can get away with, you know what I mean?
I'm glad it's protected.
Yeah, that freedom matters. It really does matter. So if you live in a country where they say
that's what I meant. I'm glad our freedom is protected, and I'm not glad that 4chan Reddit Obama racist thing is protected.
No, we don't like those guys. We cannot like them, and we can disagree with them, but I will gladly fight for their right to express themselves. Right. Anyway, so the picture is being described by Russian government's list of things that constitute extremism. Item 4071, a picture of a Putin-like person.
Putin-like person.
I think it's straight up Putin. What are they talking about?
Right. Yes. Exactly.
With eyes and lips made up is in the description. Captioned with an implicit anti-gay slur, implying the supposed non-standard sexual orientation of the president of the Russian Federation. No, it doesn't. It doesn't say that. Can I just hold on a second?
Right. It's.
I'm annoyed by this. So that's not what that shows. And I know they're not that stupid. What that shows is. Here's Putin, all dressed up, in a, you know, and made up to look like he might be gay, right, with stop homophobia on his forehead. It's right. a message.
It's not an anti-gay slur. It's a
pro-gay statement.
Pro-gay slur.
Yeah, it's an anti-Putin state. It's an anti-Putin policy.
Right. It's a poorly spelled anti homophobia. But I'm trying to figure out what that is.
It's anti-gay.
Well,
no, anti not gay. Anti pro-gay. No.
Right.
Anti-pro-gay man. I don't know what it is. But all I know is this. They think that that's offensive and that that's an anti-gay slur. And it's,
right.
it's not. The poster became popular in 2013 after Russia passed a law banning propagandizing to children about non-traditional sexual relations, and gay rights protesters were beaten and arrested. The gay Putin memes have proliferated as Russia has cracked down on both sexual liberties and online speech in recent years.
There we go. Eskimo Pie. Discrimination. It's anti-discrimination.
There's the word you're looking for.
Discriminatory.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the word I'm trying to come up with.
Yeah. I can't believe it's 2017 and people still can't express themselves in places. Right. It drives me
and
nuts.
And Eskimo Pie, I find your name offensive.
Yeah.
It should be Inuit Pie.
Inuit Pie. That's a poop. I think that's a poop. Giant spider found in Mexico. This is great.
Oh.
You like spiders, right?
Oh, I am so not liking spiders. I'm not as arachnophobic as Tina is, but
yeah.
But I don't care for them. I don't hold with them. But
you don't hold with them. Well, look at the size of this thing. You think regular ones are scary. You should see this thing in the dark.
Comcast is jumping into the
gosh.
Wireless world.
I don't
want to
click
the
that
largest...
link.
Hold on.
Well, obviously, I don't want to click that link with audio.
Auto play there.
Oh, dear Lord, no.
Californius cacacracasus. It's a low-venom spider. However, it has fangs.
Let's see. Californicatenus. Californistenus. Cacacracasus. Chilinesis.
See, it's hard.
It is. But people, it does really begin with caca.
It's a new genus of spider that's lurking specifically in these caves in Baja California in Mexico. It says the low venom spider has fangs, 8 eyes, and hairy mustard brown abdomen. Ugh.
Yes.
Don't trust
you
anything.
You lost me at cave spider. I swear to God, I don't even need anything beyond. Cave spiders, great. In California, guess where I'm never, ever going into a cave.
It's the size of a tarantula, size-wise. So it's not enormous, but dude, I don't want
those. It's got spindlier, longer legs than a tarantula, and I don't like that.
The description here from somebody says they are pretty meaty.
Great.
They do have clearly visible fangs. You don't have to look very hard to find them. Yeah, I'd get out of there. I'd be done.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is interesting. This person got bit by one. I've worked with spiders for 20 years now, and this is the first spider ever to have bitten me.
Mm.
It wasn't bad. It felt like being stuck by a cactus spine, says this entomologist who got bit. Anyway, F that. I don't want anything to do with that creature.
Yeah, thanks. And now I'm staying away from cactus, too. So,
yeah.
Cave cactus.
I'm going to send that to my wife. She'll love me for that.
Are you or Kim arachnophobic?
Kim is. Huge time. I'm kind of, I don't love them.
Yeah.
But I'm okay. Like, if I see a big spider that jumps, though, get me the F out of town right now.
Right.
But
right.
if I see just like a spider on the wall, no big deal. But if Kim sees this little spider on the wall and wants me to kill it, she freaks out until it's dead.
Right, sure.
She's that way with spiders. I'm not really that way with spiders. For me, the bugs that get me, I'm trying to think.
Are you of the type that, like, if you do see a big spider on the wall, you knock it into a cup and take the cup outside and dump it? Or basically, once he crosses the threshold...
Once he's in my territory?
Once he's in your territory, he's fair game?
I don't have a problem killing a spider. Carter wants me to take them all outside. Because she's a hippie and wants everything to live. And that's
will fun. She do it herself, though?
No, she'll make me do
she
it.
She won't go anywhere near it, but
yeah.
She wants you to...
Yeah. Oh, I know what it is for me. It's bees and hornets for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. I scream like a little girl and run around when they're if they land on my plate, I just go, ah, bah, 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 and everyone thinks I'm losing my mind. I cannot stand bees. And I've had some bad bee experiences. I had that one when I was 8 years old that got in my clothes and stung me 8 times before the stinger came out.
Jeez.
And took the clothes off and thought it was gone and put it back on, and the bee was still in there and stung me 2 more times before it died. And like that kind of stuff just settled in. Plus, my mom's terrified of bees. Nixon doesn't like bees. Everyone hates bees in my family. So bees are a problem. And what's the other thing I don't like? Oh, I don't like beetles of any sort.
Really?
Yeah.
Beetles?
Yeah, beetles, but they're like, there's something about the fact that they got like hard outer shells, but inside they're just goo. You know, like all exoskeleton.
But you like crab.
Yeah, I do like crab.
And they're it's kind of the same thing. A hard shell filled with goo.
Yeah. Why am I different about crab, I wonder? I
mean, how are you on turtles?
I like turtles. I like turtles.
I was really hoping that was the response.
I like turtles. Well done, Brian. You got exactly out of me what you were looking for there.
Exactly.
I didn't quite say it like this kid, though.
I like turtles.
There you go. But yeah, I like a turtle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Spiders, F them. They're lame.
Yeah.
Final story today. Florida students bring a dead alligator into the dorm room. This is great. Wildlife officials say they've issued warnings to 3 Florida Gulf Coast University students who brought a dead alligator to a dorm room and posted pictures of it on social media. Social media. The news press reports that the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission sent an officer to FGCU. Is that a school?
Florida Gulf Coast University.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
After getting a call from school police about the alligator. Where are you? Who are you? I'm from school police.
FGCU. Hey, I'm from the FGCU.
Oh my gosh. Alligator shows up at Central Florida. Oh no, this is sorry. FWC spokesman Brian Norris says the students claim to have found the reptile dead in the side of the road. The officers took possession of the carcass and confirmed it had been roadkill. They gave the 3 students warnings for possession of an alligator without proper permits. They were just pulling a prank, you know. Big, stinky, dead alligator. Put it in the room and make everyone gross out.
Yeah.
As if dorms don't smell enough, you know.
Huh?
I was going to say, as if dorms don't stink enough.
Well, I'm wondering if it has to do with, is it Florida University has the Gators as their mascot? So I'm wondering if it's like a rivalry, school rivalry thing.
Oh, it could be. They did that in the Power Rangers movie had one of those stories in it. Where they stole somebody other school's mascot.
Oh, was this the Ranger that is the former quarterback that...
Yep, they got kicked off the team for doing the prank. Yep. That's the one. And every Saturday, just like Breakfast Club, he has to go do special study hour thing at the school.
Right, like detention. That's awesome.
It's so over the top dumb. It's great. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it'll be our app reviews for today. We'll also take your Twitter questions and... If we pull our cards right, Brian will own BlizzCon tickets by the end of today's podcast.
I'm hoping. We're 26 minutes and counting.
Yeah.
Counting down.
Keeping our eye on that. But before that, though, music time. What do you got for me?
Yeah, well, I've got something that I am so excited to play for you because this scratches all my musical itches. This is, it feels like to me, and this is my words, not from some Spin magazine reviewer, but if Nick Lowe and the Kinks had a love child, it would sound just like this performer right here. Chuck Prophet has a brand new album called, what is it called? I've got it actually right here. Oh, it is called Bobby Fuller Died for Your Sins.
Oh, all
right.
There's
the album still right here. Might actually give this away pretty soon, too, on a future episode, because I've actually got an extra copy of it. Chuck Prophet, the song and the album is called Bobby Fuller Died for Your Sins. You can go check him out. He's touring starting on the 13th in Los Angeles at the Grammy Museum. Here in Colorado, he's going to be at E-Town on May 4th. So go check him out. And the Globe Hall here in Denver on June 7th. So he's all over the place. Go check him out. It is Chuck Prophet and the song Bobby Fuller Died for Your Sins.
Heavy load. Bobby Fuller died for your sins.
no more.
Bobby Fuller died for your sins.
I could be anywhere when I hear that sound. Take me back, pretty baby.
Great.
Yeah. And he's in Colorado. You gonna go see him?
I'd like to. I'd really like actually seeing concerts as part of E-Town, because it's a whole radio show where somebody performs, then they go through like a little interview with the hosts of E-Town and then do more performances. And I saw Joan Osborne and Bruce Coburn that way. Nope. I've seen the Bare Naked Ladies before their first album really went big. We saw them at E-Town. It was like, oh, these guys are awesome. They're hilarious.
Yeah. Little did you know they were about to explode.
Exactly. And I've hooked you up with a different song from that very same album about If I Was Connie Britton.
Oh, so that is so good, by the way, that song.
Yeah, it's funny. Looking back at his previous albums, he doesn't name check anybody, but on this one, he name checks Bobby Fuller, who's the, for people who aren't familiar with the name, he's the guy who did I Fought the Law, probably the most famous version of I Fought the Law, before Green Day and The Clash. But,
Oh, I forgot Green Day did a cover of that. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. Alan Vega, mm-hmm. Connie Britton, Alex Nieto. A bunch of people get name checked as song titles on this album. I don't know why.
I always like that though. Especially when it's obscure, like Connie Britton. That's obscure. Hey,
right. It's a weird name, but it's fun. It's a funny song because it's like, I don't know, y'all. Something don't seem right. Totally nails it. And there's a song on here called Bad Year for Rock and Roll. And it really speaks to the whole 2016 Prince and George Michael and all these singers that we lost. David Bowie, he mentions, mentions all these people in the song. It's a really, really good album. So.
All right. Check it out, people. Yep. Seems like it's good stuff. All right. Well, with that out of the way.
Yes.
It's now this in the way. This is now in the way. And it needs to get out of the way, but it's in the way for now.
App Slappy.
It's time for a little app slappy in our lives. It's time for us to review apps that we found. And here's mine. Would you like to know what I got this week, Brian?
I would like to know what you got.
Okay. Tell me what you've got. Or no, show me what you've got.
Show me what you got.
Have you seen that yet, the new one?
Yes. No, not the new one.
I haven't either. I'm dying to see it. It's on YouTube for free. I need to just watch it.
Yep.
All right. So for me, it's going to be something that people are going to go, what, Scott, you're playing that? That's weird. I'm playing a game called Tap Sports MLB Baseball 17.
I can't believe it.
I know. It's amazing and shocking and mind-blowing. Here, I'm going to...
A baseball game, Scott? You are playing?
Can you believe it? All right. So it's shockingly fun. I thought this was going to be Pooh Bean extraordinaire. And I was not excited about it at all. And then I picked it up and found the following thing. So first of all, yes, it is free to play. And yes, there's some music. It's very sportsy, right?
Yeah.
Dun-dun, 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 dun-dun. Anyway, it's licensed by the MLB. So you've got actual players and teams and stuff. And what you do is you recruit players and try to get the better players and improve your coaching and all that kind of stuff. And you do that with the in-game currencies. And if all this sounds familiar, you've probably played 1,000 games like this. But what sets it apart is the actual gameplay is really simple, yet it feels like you're really doing something. So it's basically just hitting. You don't do any fielding. You don't do any pitching. You're just taking turns. And it's kind of like, you know, I make a move and then you get notified that it's your turn. It's like playing Boggle or something.
Gotcha. Okay, so you play against other people.
Yeah. I mean, there's also some other modes, but that's the primary method of play, is to play somebody either on Facebook or someone you know or whatever. And or random people. And you do 3 innings worth. And whoever wins out of those 3 innings wins, obviously, and you get a bunch of money for that. And you also get cash just for finishing a round or an inning. And you have 3 outs, and all the other rules in baseball apply. So, you know, strikes and balls and walking bases and all that stuff. And the better your players are, the more likely you are to get really good hits. And the way you hit is real simple. The pitcher... and to this game's credit, it's very fast about just getting to the action. As soon as you hit go, the pitcher's winding up to throw the ball. As soon as he throws the ball, you got to decide, is that coming over the plate or is that a weird curveball? It's going to be a ball if I let it go. And you got to make a decision. And if it's a ball, then you need to let it go. And if you don't, you're going to swing and get a miss and get a strike. Mm-hmm. So you get really good at trying to watch for that. If they've got a really good pitcher on their team, it's sometimes a lot harder. The pitches are faster. Sometimes slow balls will throw you off. Anyway, home runs are possible, base hits are possible, stealing the bases is possible. Sometimes you get to choose, do you want to steal the base? If you do, then let's see what the speed rating on your player who's on base is. And if it's high enough, you might get away with it. It's like 60% chance or something. So all these little, you know, baseball things, but presented in a very fast, snappy, like go, go, go kind of way.
Cool.
And I have found myself completely enamored with it. I can't stop playing it. It's one of my favorite little stupid pickup and play games. Yeah, and I don't know why. I don't know what happened there. And I like baseball generally. Mm-hmm. And I've liked baseball video games in the past, but the ones I've liked the most are like the old RBI baseball for the NES, or you know, the more arcadey approach to baseball.
Sure, right.
And this marries like the arcadey part with the stats and players and stuff part. If you really want to get into that, you can. But the gameplay itself is just very quick, very easy, kind of a no-brainer. But also, it feels like you're doing something. It feels good, and I'm going to recommend it.
Oh, holy cow! Yeah, download it. And I'm about to. I'm Mike Trout playing for the Angels, and I'm about to tap anywhere to hit. All right, here's the pitch, and oh, it's a knock into.
Did you knock it into the crowd?
No, I didn't get a home run, but I did. All right, maybe my favorite thing about this.
Yeah.
The people in the stands.
Yeah, their legs.
Their legs, yeah. Straight out in front of them. So they're sitting on chairs, but it's like they're on lawn chairs because their legs go straight out in front of them.
Yeah, they're like just flat textures on the seats. I'm a big fan of terrible crowds in video games generally, like sports games. These may take the cake. They're really terrible and awful.
Now batting, Mookie Betts. Oh, I'm not going to swing at that one. Ball, high and away. Oh, I love this. And the graphics are gorgeous.
Yeah, it's really good. The graphics are good. The animations are nice. The crowd graphics are terrible, but that's what you want from a baseball game. The actual stadiums are represented. Like, it's cool. It's a lot better than it should be, and it's I'm gonna say the actual out of game, like, menu interface kind of sucks. It's a little kludgy and overrun and just kind of a mess. But once you figure out where you need to go and what to do, it's no big deal. Nice. But the actual interface for play is top notch. So cool. I'm gonna recommend it. It's not even my thing normally, but it's scratching a very specific itch for me, and I think people will enjoy it, including you.
I like that a lot. Very cool. I like it.
The best part about these crowds is you could just keep stacking people on top of them because they're just little 2D flat people.
Right, yes.
Anyway, I have a screen cap of it. It's pretty funny. Anyway, let's move on over to Brian Ibbett, who also has something to recommend.
I do. I've the couple things I've picked up recently, and I'm only going to talk about one of them. However, I will say this. I've actually gotten back into Fallout Shelter. Mm. I don't know if I'll stay with it, but they've added quests. So you actually send some of your, instead of just sending them out to wander the wasteland aimlessly, you can actually send them on quests where you go into a building which looks a lot like your Fallout shelter, and you make your way from room to room, clearing it of
This isn't just blindly sending them out and hoping for the best. You go and control
them. You go with them and you move them from room to room, collecting items and killing things and meeting a big boss. And there's actually like strategy to killing the big boss where you've got like a little moving set of arrows, and when the arrows are the closest, you tap and you'll get like a triple times hit, versus when the arrows are further out, you'll just get a 1x hit. So it's actually some kind of
That's actual gameplay. I'm into that.
It's actual gameplay, and that's what made me kind of get back into it. But unfortunately, I deleted the game from my iPad, and I had a completely full every room, the most number of people you can have, completely full Fallout shelter, and
no cloud save on that thing. They never put cloud saves in there, I guess.
No,
bummer. I have it on Steam now because it's out on Steam as well. It's free, and I wonder if that plays well with these missions and the mouse and stuff. But that has a cloud save, so maybe I'll do that. I'll think about it. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, it's fun. So that's just a side thing. The game I picked up this week and started playing is a game called Kami 2, KAMI 2.
Oh yeah.
And it's a very simple puzzler. The object is to change all of the little triangles on your screen to be the same color. Sounds simple, right? Mm-hmm. A couple cool things about this. Number one, the graphics are so gorgeous. It looks like origami being folded right in front of your eyes. There's a texture to it, and it looks like it's got that paper that has that kind of tactile feel to it, like with almost a little bit of cloth in the paper. It's just gorgeous, and like the movements, the little origami folds are all sequential, so it looks like it's kind of expanding, radiating out from where you touch. And there's a lot of daily puzzles and things like that. So to get these little triangles all the same color, you tap on ranges of other colors. So let's say, you know, in your first ones, you've got three colors or four colors. You've got a green, a dark blue, an orange, and a gray. And they're all geometric patterns made up of these little triangles. What you'll do is you click on a range of those colors, and it'll automatically change all of that contiguous area to be the same color as the paper you've got selected. So you may want to turn that green panel orange, and then now that you have a big orange panel, you'll turn that blue, and that'll pick up all the blue segments around it. And then you'll tap gray, and that'll turn everything else, or turn that all that stuff gray that you previously made orange.
Is there a gold color, or does it matter? Like, in
it
other
doesn't
words,
matter. As long as everything ends up one color, then you win. Now, the trick is that you've got a certain number of moves. So you don't know, there technically is a gold color. You don't know what that gold color is, but there's probably only going to be one option to make it through that level and get everything the same color. One set of paths you can take, or one set of selections you can take. So while you don't know what that set of steps is, chances are the color that is most prominent the furthest out is probably going to be your goal color.
Yeah. I'm watching some video of this right now, and it seems, I look at that at first glance, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know where to start. Like, it looks really complicated, but I guess it gets intuitive.
It really is, and then it ramps it up. So, like, you know, you play it for a little bit, and you're like, oh, I totally get how this works. Okay, that totally makes sense.
Okay. It's interesting, the whole first set of color, I assume these changes, you get more packs, but they're all the color of the embroidery work you see on the Fargo TV series.
It is, yeah, those on those first ones are.
Yeah, it's weird.
And there are daily puzzles, and they're puzzles created by other people, so you can see what other people are creating. The game is called Kami 2, K-A-M-I 2. It's free to play, free to download, and it's just beautiful. It is a beautiful, relaxing, I bet you there's some great music that goes along with this, but I have the audio turned off on my iPad. But
interesting. Any trouble for do you think this would be any trouble for the colorblind among us?
Oh,
I wonder.
It might be, but I'll bet you anything you can change what colors it uses. I'll bet there's an interface where you can say, don't use this particular green or don't use this particular red or whatever. And probably ways to do that.
That seems fascinating. I'm watching a video and it's kind of kind of entrancing.
It's mesmerizing, isn't it?
I remember the first game and I played it a little bit. I don't remember too much about it. This, I may have to pick this up.
Yeah, it's
all right.
Fun.
All right. Good call. It's Kami 2, K-A-M-I 2.
Right. Free. And I don't know, again, if it's on Android. I believe it is, but...
yeah. Well, probably is. Who knows?
But just watching those little triangles fold out, it's... there's a randomness to it, so it doesn't feel like it's completely perfectly radiating. Like, oh, this part's going a little faster, and this part catches up to it and stuff. I don't know. It's really cool.
Yeah, I like it. It's like a Kubo and the Two Strings background or something.
It is. It totally is, yeah.
That's really cool. All right. Now, before we do anything else, we're close on the clock.
We're 8 minutes away. Yep.
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start by reading an email. We'll discuss this email. That may be right about the time Brian hits go.
Oh, perfect.
What I don't want to do, I do not want to do anything that hinders your ability to hit the right moment. So
I'm keeping an eye on it, man. I'm keeping an eye.
And people are probably saying, "Well, Scott, don't you go to BlizzCon? Why aren't you doing this?" I get press passes and assume I will again because I always have for the 5-6 times I've gone or whatever. So I assume that that's all still happening. So that's why. But I love this idea of watching Brian do this.
We're doing it live.
There's something about this I like. Anyway, here's an email we got from America's Wang. He didn't leave his number or his name, but I assume Florida is what he means.
I would assume so.
He says, on TMS 1240, you guys were talking about the Melbourne, Florida woman who took up arms when her dirty pennies weren't accepted, and somehow this segued into Scott's dad having a coin sorter. These sorts of stories are typically the reason I love the show. They are a magical form of storytelling that brings great nostalgia, but the kicker was the moment when Brian mentioned the reason your dad had the machine wasn't because he was a cheap coin counter, but it was the arcades. Then watching you put it all together, Scott, including the blue envelopes, it was just this amazing thing I cannot put into words. Thank you. You're the best. Thanks for bringing smiles and happiness into people's lives for just being you. Now, I'll take the compliment, but also it's a good representation of how stupid I can be on the show. Because sometimes I will say a thing like, wasn't Chester Cheetah, wasn't he a tiger?
Right. Or else, you know, our discussion about vegetarianism versus veganism and entails and all that.
The crap we got on Twitter about that, dude.
Emails. I know.
Like, let me explain what a vegan is. For once in a while, it's like, all right, we get it. There's some guy on who watches us on YouTube who says that he's about to rage quit us because...
Oh, really?
Because I'm always offending people. Did I send you that clip?
Oh, you did. Yes, yeah. I did see that.
He says, I constantly offend people, and Justin Roberta Young, which is kind of offensive.
Justine. Yeah, right.
It's slightly offensive if he's being racist. I don't know. But here, I'll just share it with everybody. And the reason I'm sharing this isn't to rub this guy. I'm not going to say his name, but... But he likes you. It says, Wendy and Brian are literally the only things keeping me from quitting TMS, my TMS habit.
Literally.
Been a Frog Pants fan for nearly a decade now. Now, that's the important part, and I'll get back to that. But the combination of Scott being offensive to numerous demographics almost daily with no remorse, plus ignorant and foolish guests like Justine Roberto Young, it's almost too much to handle. Times change, people change. It's just a shame, though. All right, so I just wanted to say this. If you've been listening to the show or shows on the network for 10 years, then you already know what a dope I am. This isn't anything new. Like, I don't think you can claim 10-year listenership without knowing that Scott says stupid shit all the time.
Right, right.
That's part of who I am. So it's not lately. It isn't a new thing. I will say a dumb thing like, wasn't he a tiger? on the frequent for 10 years. Okay? That's just me. I am who I am. And if you're just now keying in on it, that's you who's changing, not me.
That's right. Exactly.
Also, it's slightly, if you're talking about being offensive to numerous demographics, calling him Justine Roberto Young is... is an offensive, ignorant, foolish thing to say.
It's gotta be accidental. I'm hoping that's accidental.
I don't think so, because I went and found some of his other posts, and he's always shagging on Justin, and he's always spelling his name different, and it's usually in some sort of pseudo-Mexican, ethnic sort of spelling. It's not the first time, so I'm not going to throw this guy's name out there. He's probably still watching, because that's how these people work, but dude, it's fine. If you don't want to listen, you shouldn't listen anymore. But that's if you want to, then you should, and it's fine. It's okay. If I offend somebody, we'll talk about it. We'll work it out. That's how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What else are we doing? Oh, okay. It's almost time.
3 minutes or 2.5 minutes.
Oh, I'm so nervous about this.
Oh, don't be. It's, you know.
Are others in the chat room doing this along with you? Do you know?
There are a couple people. Yeah, I think I want to say Wicked Kitten maybe is. That's Monica. I think she's going. Going to try and get some as well.
Let's see, I'm in here now. Boy, they sure like putting all the Overwatch stuff up on this video, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Russell was telling me yesterday at the museum at the Blizzard on the campus, they have a museum of all their stuff that they've done for all these years, and he says a huge portion of it now is Overwatch
stuff, surprise.
Which probably shouldn't be shocking to anyone. That game's an enormous success. All right, so I want to see where you get tickets, because I'm going to watch. I want to see what this looks like. Okay. Where is it? Where do you do it?
If you go to universe.com/BlizzCon2017.
Oh, it's a universe deal?
Yep.
Universe. Yep.
Although I got to say, I like it better than what they did last time or the time before. Like, this is what they had last year, because you got into the queue and you didn't have to keep F5-ing. It was saying, don't refresh the screen. Just hang out here, and we'll let you know if you get in and get your business going.
So I wonder if everybody knows about that direct link, or if they just go to this. Because on the website, if you go to BlizzCon.com, as you're thinking, oh, that's where I'll get my tickets.
Right.
It just says coming soon on a button. And if you didn't know any better, you'd go here and wait for that to change and maybe forget to refresh it, and then you're screwed and you're out of tickets.
Then you're out. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's one of those things also. It's too late if you haven't done it now, but you want to go and make sure you have an account created on Universe before you do any of this. Like, if you're coming to universe.com and you don't already have an account created, then I think that's going to increase the time that it's going to take you to get in.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
You want to be in and logged in, and right now I'm logged in as Tristan over there, and I'm logged in as Brian over here.
I love this. All right, so Saturday, April 8th, 2017 at 10 p.m. or 10 a.m. Pacific, so that's in 1 minute. $199 per ticket plus fees and taxes, limit 4 per household. What's included? Here's what Brian's going to get. 1 BlizzCon badge that grants access to the convention. BlizzCon goodie bag containing commemorative swag. BlizzCon in-game goodies and the BlizzCon virtual ticket. Let's see, provide your payment information. So you do this with a credit card? Is that your plan?
Yeah.
I talk about this like I've never done it, because I never have. Right. They always send me tickets.
Pay with our credit card, are you?
I always get press passes, so I just never
I know
how this stuff works. Which is kind of an a-hole thing to say. All right, so we're 20 seconds away, according to my watch.
I'm like, are you on Universal Coordinated Time, Scott? Is that the deal?
I think so. Are you showing that as well? Oh, it's 11.
There we go. Okay. I'm in line.
Okay.
I'm in line on both computers now.
Okay. And is it, how quick do you know if you got it?
I don't know. I think you basically, at least with one of these, you hear a ka-chung, like they've somehow have the Warcraft quest completed noise in here. So.
Oh, good. Well, here, let's add to it.
Perfect.
All right. So this is Brian.
And hopefully... I know Todd is in on our 4 tickets. I think Tom Merritt is wanting our 4th of the 4 tickets, but we'll find that out. But Todd is in line as well.
Yeah, and Todd's, is he in there? Good. So everybody's working together here. I don't know if Tom is Tom in too, or he's just hoping.
I haven't talked to Tom. I was afraid to text him because I don't, you know, he doesn't have kids. He doesn't have to get up early on a Saturday morning. And last thing I want to do is text Tom at 9 a.m. and say, "Hey, you want to go to BlizzCon? You want to get tickets? F off, Ibbit. I'm asleep."
Ooh, Red Sniper got in and is able to buy them.
Okay, who did?
Red Sniper in the chat.
Oh, Red Sniper.
Good job,
in the chat.
Red Sniper.
Good job, Red Sniper.
Red Sniper standing by.
So what are you seeing, Brian? Are you seeing
I'm seeing you are now in line. It's got a little spinny circle on the bottom that says do not refresh this page.
Yeah, whatever you do.
So whatever you do.
What
do
if the
not
what if the pa-
away
what if
from the refresh button?
What if the power went out or something horrible? That'd be bad.
You know, it's such a crapshoot. I feel like I've been so lucky because I have been able to get tickets for the last few years, but you know, I could easily see something, easily see one of these years I'm just not going to get tickets. This may be the year I don't get tickets. But
you've been very lucky up till now.
I'm still going. I'm still going to go to the guild hall, still going to do that business and watch the watch the excitement from there with all my friends from my raid team and my...
Well, it's going to be great.
My community.
Always good to be in with
the community. Nothing on either screen. The PC got through a little bit slower. I was actually in on the Mac screen and had to click the PC again and then refresh and then click again on the PC. Like the first time, even after I got through on the Mac, on the PC was like, nope, still not available, even though I was already in line on the
Sorry,
Mac.
Sorry, you aiming to get 8 of them, or are you trying to just get 4 one way or the other?
Four.
Okay. Yeah, you get the 4 either way, and then somebody...
And really, for me, it's really just 2. Just want me and Tristan to go.
Right, but this way you've got tickets.
We're working with Todd and
sell it to whoever and whatever.
The Jen plays. She's in line.
Yeah, that's good.
Yep.
Oh, I'm nervous. I want you to get this so bad.
I do too.
Don't refresh anything. Don't push
any
buttons.
And we'll know like within 3 or 4 minutes. Like it's basically, you know, we get this screen for the time it takes to sell all the tickets, and then as soon as there are no more tickets available, it comes back and says, boo, 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 boo.
All right, well, while that's happening, I'm going to read some of our Twitter questions.
Yes, cool, and I'll answer as many as I can while I'm watching the circle spin.
Yeah, these are all from you people, and here's one of the things that we do.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
All right. So here's some of the Twitter questions while Brian waits in line. Midnight Breakfast wrote in, says, what are your thoughts on sci-fi trend of clear screen devices like Tony Stark's phone for the devices or the devices on The Expanse?
Oh, yeah. Well, I kind of like that. Like where you get like the heads up. Oh. I just got music.
Oh.
Did you hear that?
No.
Okay. That was just on mine. But I don't know. Nothing's changed.
Okay.
So where did that music come from?
I don't know.
Oh. Oh, choose your tickets. I am in like flimsy.
Flimsy in.
I am in. Todd, you may stop your going.
Well, make sure.
Yeah, I know. I'm not going to stop until I actually get a.
Is Todd listening right now? Do we know? Is he listening to the show?
He is listening to the show, yes.
All right. Hey, Todd, I'm just teasing about you always being in WoW. Even though you are, you're always in WoW. But I'm just teasing. Okay, buddy.
Okay, hold on. So here's where I'm actually having to type, because it's got my stuff in there.
Yeah.
Oh,
do you have to?
I have to enter in all the other. Oh, save ticket, and then save ticket, and then.
Oh, I thought you did transfer. I thought you transferred names later.
Well, you can, and so that's what I'm going to do. But because I'm actually going to put, I don't know Todd's email address off the top, so he's going to be Todd. Whitehead at brianibbett.com, because I can at least confirm that. And his I'm going to say his character name is Gnomewise, even though I don't think that's it.
It's not, but it's fine.
And then
actually I think it is, now that you say it. Yeah, I think it is Gnomewise. Yeah.
And then it's going to be Tom Hummus Emeritus.
Yeah.
And he's going to be Tom Merritt at brianibbett.com.
Yeah. I didn't know you had brianibbett.com.
I do.
If I go
love...
there, what happens if I go there? Anything?
Nothing. There's nothing there, and he's going to be called Tomerit.
Brianibbett.com is correctly not. It's just a Bluehost Park.
Continue. Yep. All right. My credit card. Let's see. That is 61930. I'm kidding, by the way. I'm not going to say my credit card number. I'm just making up numbers. But it's really hard to type actual numbers and make up numbers at the same time. So maybe I should stop doing
that. It is. It's not a good, it's a bad practice because you'll end up writing the wrong one or something.
Oh, son of a gun. Event capacity reach order cannot be processed. Hold on. Does it let me get through to this far? That can't be right.
No. There's some load problem there or something.
Yeah. Let's see what happened.
Oh, I'm so nervous.
Only confirmed once card is card is charged, says Todd.
Yeah, but...
Uh-oh. Only... We may not have made it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, wait. It's... If you got through there, though, isn't that a place in line? I thought that was a place in line.
Yeah, you gotta... I guess you just gotta say, you know, whatever name you make up, and don't worry about filling... That's so lame that you have to sit there and fill out that form.
Yeah.
It's like that's why I have an account on Universe.
Yeah, but they're supposed.
I got it.
But they're supposed to be the way I thought it worked is once you got in, then you can fill in whatever you wanted because you're reserved.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
That's the way it worked last year for people.
I shouldn't have been. It shouldn't have let me get to that point unless it was ready to lock me and say, "Okay, you're in. Now take your time, fill out your credit card details and all that stuff."
Yeah.
Oh.
So it didn't work.
Dangled that carrot in front of me. Now I'm hitting. I keep hitting checkout and it says event capacity reached. Your order cannot be processed.
Event capacity reached.
Yeah. So
that means they're sold out?
That means they are sold out. All that's left are the $750 dinner tickets and I ain't doing that business.
No.
So now I just rely on the kindness of others and hope that somebody who did get through and you're not going to use all their tickets. Maybe has one for me interested.
You can help us out. You know, really, the music we should be playing for you right now.
Dearest Martha, I stand here alone on a hill in South Carolina, clutching my F5 button to my chest. It has been...
It's been a long time since
It has been 4 years since I last went to BlizzCon and... Saw you there. Oh, what a
That's
bummer.
Too bad, man.
I keep hitting checkout like there's something different is going to happen, but I don't think anything different is going to happen.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
I'm bummed out by this.
All right. So, yeah, there we go. So,
do you think it was because you had to fill in the names or do you think it was something else? Because I wonder, that just doesn't seem right to me.
I think it was. I think once you get, you either don't get in, because on this other computer, never even got through. It like went straight from you are in line to BlizzCon 2017, no tickets are currently available. So,
because if this is a real line, let's use the, because they're making it's a metaphor for a real line, right?
Right.
So let's say this is an actual line and Brian's in line and it says, oh, you're in line. Here's our paperwork. Let's go ahead and fill it out. And then someone come and shoved you out of the way while you were writing it.
That's kind of it. Yeah, it totally is.
That doesn't seem right. Something's wrong. I mean, that's bad if that's how that works. I don't like that. And I understand it's a highly demanded thing. I get it, but man.
Look at everybody all sad. Oh, you guys are so awesome.
Yeah, we'll work it out. There's always somebody somewhere who sells their tickets. And
exactly.
Like, every year, there's somebody with tickets to sell, so we'll get there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it was fun to try it.
It is. Quest incomplete. I did not bring enough polywog turds to... Dr. Kevorkus for the
There
quest.
You go. Here's the sound we have to play. There you go. That's a death sound. You were killed in the world of that. Okay. Well, quickly, we'll do a couple more of these, and then we'll get out of here today. Katie Talmo wrote in and says, which fictional fast food chain do you wish was real?
Ooh.
Easy for me,
what's
but what
one,
would you
Moody
say?
Moody Burgers or what's the one from the View Askew universe, the Kevin Smith? It's like Moopy or Mooby.
Movie
like a big cow.
Yeah, that'd be good. I'd go there. I'd eat there.
What I want is the floating McDonald's barge like they had in Fifth Element, but that's a real fast food.
Yeah, that's
company
just
with a fake delivery method.
Yeah, that's just a brand in the future, I guess.
Yeah,
I would do. I want the Krusty Burger from The Simpsons.
Oh sure, yeah, right,
something like that. Or what's the Futurama one I always liked that they go to all the
Slurm?
Time.
Slurm? Oh, not Slurm.
No, the Bam guy is always going Bam, and multiple arm guy. Anyway,
I hear good things about Big Belly Burger.
Big Belly Burger. Mm.
Yeah, that's in the CW universe.
Seems like a tasty treat.
Big Belly Burger.
Okay. For clarification, Scott Johnson doesn't like beetles, but how does he feel about the beetles, the animals, and the zebras?
It's funny because at that point I was going to ask you about that, but I wanted to go on the, I did want to go on the, like the comparing it to crabs and other hard-shelled animals with goo inside.
Yeah. I like, you the, like beetles. The beetles. Oh, sure. I love the beetles. Are you kidding me? They're great, man. Yeah. Hey Jude, all day long. Let's do it. They're awesome. While My Guitar Gently Weeps, everything.
Yes.
What books are you guys reading right now? I am reading, it says Joachim de Corte. I am reading Joe Abercrombie's The Blade Itself currently. Brian, are you reading any books right now?
I am not. I currently, the next book on my list that is sitting right there is Hollywood.
Paul?
Hollywood Unlisted, I think. It's written by the grandfather of the kid who's staying with us, right? Simon, who's living with us.
Oh.
He was a... or still is a phone installer for the Stars. He works in Hollywood installing and maintaining phone systems.
Oh, wow.
And so he has stories, and he made an entire book of them, and that is the next book on my in my queue to read. I'm really looking forward to it.
That sounds awesome. He's been there a while. How, is he just a permanent deal then? Is he just going to live with you guys till the end of time?
He's going to live with us until he gets an apartment.
Gotcha.
And we ask him.
Once in a while.
Ask him on a regular basis, where are you in relation to getting an apartment?
Do you have the monies?
My wife is very insistent upon this. he talks about apartments he's looked at or that he's like, you know, waiting for a friend to get the money together to go in on. But that's what it always is with kids. It's like, because Tristan, we experienced the same thing with, yeah, I've got an apartment that we really like, but I'm waiting for so-and-so to get money together to be able to pay for a damage deposit. And then over the course of the 60 days that we're waiting on that kid, all of a sudden he's decided he can't move out because of some other thing. And so now Tristan's kind of like at the starting point. Basically, he's back in the queue.
Yeah.
He's back in the queue watching the little circle spin, waiting for everything to line up.
Convention full, apartments full, please, your card cannot be processed. Exactly.
Right. Exactly.
I
want to print out that. I don't want to close that window because I got in.
You
got
to keep it there. Keep it there just in case. You just, you know, just exactly. Who knows? Something may happen. It could be it could be an erroneous error. Who knows?
That's right. Oh, Balloon Knot says, why not Bob's Burgers? Of course Bob's Burgers would be the franchise we'd most want to really exist.
And all the other competing places around it, I'd go to that crappy Italian thing across the way. Like,
Jimmy Pesto's, whatever it's called.
That entire strip I would like to have in
would
my
life.
Would
you go to the amusement park that Mr. Fishoder runs?
Probably not.
Knowing that screws and bolts fall out of that roller coaster all the time.
I would probably go there, but I wouldn't ride that ride. That's for sure. If I knew what I know.
Right.
Real quick, that Joe Abercrombie book I mentioned, The Blade Itself, excellent. It's the first of three, and then there's some other offshoot novels. If you like fantasy, it's awesome. It's real, real good. Cool. And fun and loud and violent and great. I really like it. Veronica was actually the one that recommended it, and she couldn't have been more right. So fantastic book so far. And then I get back to the third Expanse book. That's my next one.
Ooh, nice.
Can't get enough of that. That's been actually hard not to be reading while the series is on again because I just like to have that in my life. But I'll get to it. Blade Itself, really good though. What else? It's the King Killer Chronicles, I believe, is that entire series. The Blade Itself is book one. Let's see. We got one here. Oh, here's a good one for you. Cranium says, what are some of your favorite misheard lyrics?
Yeah, I mean, there's the classics like...
Wrapped up like a douche.
Yeah. Right, and excuse me while I kiss this guy.
Yeah.
Pick your bum. Pick your bum,
yeah.
Yes. There's one, so I'll tell you two. One that that is a favorite because somebody else heard it and it ended up in a book. Oh, I give you three.
Okay.
Give you one from the book, I think the book series is called Excuse Me While I Kiss This Guy, and it's a bunch of misheard lyrics. Mm. And then my favorite one from that is Jungle Love by Steve Miller Band. You know, Jungle Love.
Oh, yeah.
It's driving me mad. It's making me crazy. Somehow the misheard lyric of Chug-a-lug, strawberry man, you're making me crazy.
It would drive me crazy if I knew a guy named Strawberry Man. Strawberry he was chug-a-lugging. Man, yeah, it's weird.
He's chug-a-lugging that strawberry
man. Here's my, this, and you guys can hear this. Listen. Don't let nobody pick your bum.
I don't even know the real lyric because I'm really sure. I'm certain that it's pick your bum.
Yeah, it's always pick your bum.
You don't. Rick Ocasek should not have anybody pick his bum.
No, his bum's weird. Don't pick Rick Ocasek's bum.
That's right. Second on the list is one from Tina that we all know from the song Africa mm-hmm. by Toto.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna take a lot to take me away from you. There's nothing that 100 men from Mars could ever do. Gonna take a lot to get me away from you. There's nothing that 100 men from Mars could ever do.
I actually kind of like it.
Yeah.
I like that better than the original.
We were on a road trip, and she started singing along with it. And I actually had to pause the music and say, wait, what did you just say?
Oh, that's great.
And then I'll give you one last one. One that I heard, that I always heard as a misheard lyric, and it wasn't until years later that I realized. And I can't remember it's the song You and Me and We Just Disagree. There's only you and me and we just disagree.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's a line in there that says, well, let's leave it alone because we can't see eye to eye.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, I thought there was a place called Idahigh. Because we can't see Idahigh.
Yeah. It's like my brother with the...
It's like Idaho, but yeah, it's Idahigh.
Idahigh, exactly. It's like my brother with the Pledge of Allegiance. He thought it was for Richard Stans, and he never knew who Richard Stans was.
No way, is that really...
Yeah, he'd say, and to the Republic for Richard Stans. I'm like, who the hell is Richard Stans? He'd ask my mom. I guess he didn't say hell, but yeah.
Oh, I've got one more, too.
Okay.
So this I talked about on the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones Soundography, which is going to be coming up on the show soon, but the... It's not even really a misheard lyric. It's a misunderstood lyric. So the chorus goes, ever had to knock on wood, but I know someone who had,
yeah.
or never had to knock on wood. Yeah. And I never understood that line. It's like, you never had to knock on wood?
Right.
What is that? What is that? Doesn't even make any sense.
Right.
And it wasn't until I was reading the lyrics and realized that the verses ask the question, you know, like, did you ever have to live with tragedy or know someone who had or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And so the verses are asking a question and then the chorus is answering it. Never had to, comma, knock on wood.
Oh, I didn't either.
I know it
never had to. But yeah, but it sings like a sentence
right.
without
never
punctuation.
Had to knock on wood. Like, why would you ever have to knock on wood? I would hope you'd never have to, like, somebody putting a gun to your head.
I would have never gotten that.
Never had to, comma, knock on wood.
Yeah, I'd have never gotten that. Okay. You just changed my life.
I don't feel bad that I'm not the only one who never understood that.
I'll bet most people don't. I'll bet most people don't. There you go. There's your Ask TMS questions. Thank you guys for using that. That's the hashtag AskTMS, and we do it on the Thursday episode of the show, which is happening now because of everything I explained earlier, so I won't explain it again. But big thanks to everybody coming out today. I know it's Saturday morning. You probably have either beds to sleep in or fish to go catch or something rad to do.
That's right.
But some of you are
baseball
here.
Baseball games to go see.
Exactly, but a bunch of you came live anyway, and we ended up with a really good turnout. So thank you all for being here. Right after this, at 12 p.m., my daughter and I are starting our next phase of Story Mode Saturdays. We're playing a point-and-click adventure game that I'm very excited about called Thimbleweeds. That's made by a bunch of ex-dudes. What's his name? Ron Gilbert? Is it Ron Gilbert? Anyway, the guys, the old Electronic Arts Adventure Team guys.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, brand new game, some kind of weird detective thing that's a little like X-Files. It's got goofy art. It looks like a blast, and we're going to crank that up today. So right here on the channel, frogpants.tv, at noon today, I'll be streaming that with Carter. On a brand new, by the way, Doghouse Systems rig, which I haven't streamed with yet, so everyone wish me luck.
Cool.
I think everything should be fine. I think I'm all set up, but we'll find out the hard way. That's going to do it for us. Thank you, everybody. The reason we have this extra show a week is because of patreon.com/TMS and your support there. We are listener-supported in a very large way, so if you guys feel it in your hearts to go there and just throw even a dollar our way a month, which is ridiculous, but do it, it would help us out greatly. Thank you guys so much for your support. Go check out the details at patreon.com/TMS. And check out frogpants.com/TMS for everything else. All our contact details, emails, Twitters, all that stuff's there. And you can go there anytime you'd like. Brian, music.
Yes, sir.
Music.
All right. And by the way, the Mekio77 in the chat room may have misunderstood. I understand that knock on wood, this is a superstitious thing. Like if you,
oh, sure.
You know, say, oh, never broken my arm. And then you knock on wood to as the superstitious thing to say.
Yeah, and you and I would say it like this. Oh, I've never broken my arm. Knock on wood. There's a comma right, there.
Exactly. Exactly. So we understand that. It was just I never understood the why you'd say never had to knock on wood.
Yeah, I've okay. never Let's... had to knock on wood. It absolutely sounds like he's saying I've never had to knock on wood.
Exactly. I just want to prevent anybody else from being confused. We do understand knock on wood and what that whole that thing means.
We okay. definitely do.
Sean Allred wrote in and said, hey, Dr. Strange and Dr. Banner, on Friday, March 31st, my grandmother, Ruth Lauder, passed away at the age of 96. That was a great long life. She was an inspiration to me and my family, and her love for music was powerful and well-known. Being a musician herself, she was one of the first female performers in the L.A. Philharmonic in the 40s and continued to teach music well into her 80s. My request is for a cover of some classical music or a classical style cover of something new to honor her memory. Thanks for all the laughs and thoughtful conversations. Love the show, though. Sean A.
Nice.
So this is great. I love this kind of tribute stuff. And also, I love classical covers or covers of classical songs done in more rock and roll style. Mm-hmm. So that's the direction we're going to take on this. This is David Garrett, who I think we've played recently with another electric violin cover. But that's all right. I'm playing him again because he's so awesome. This comes from the 2010 album Rock Symphonies. It's a cover of Beethoven's Fifth, and it's just called The Fifth.
Ooh, I'm going to plead the Fifth. We'll be back here on Monday, and then we'll fill you in then on what the rest of the week's schedule looks like. So come on back then for a regular old TMS on Monday, everybody. Have a great weekend. Check us out on FilmSack this weekend as well, FilmSack.com. We'll be doing, what's our movie? I forgot.
Around the World in 80 Days.
Oh, yeah, Around the World in 80 Days with Jackie
watch
Chan
that
and Steve Coogan.
This afternoon.
Yeah. Are you gonna? You haven't yet, but you're going
to? That's right. Going to. Going to watch it this
afternoon.
Yeah,
I got to watch it later, too. Gotta, gonna. I use a lot of gonna. I use a lot of gotta, gonna's, I realized, today. I got to stop using that word.
Gonna.
Anyway, here it is. It's the Fifth. We'll see you then.
push a button.
Hey, it's too early to get fish sandwich.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
All right, that is absolutely a glitch. It's not supposed to play the fish sandwich guy when I hit that key.